It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And thanks for joining us again here on Talking.Golf. One of those rare days where, as we record this, the weather in Wisconsin far better than it is here where I am in Arizona. So we're finally turning that corner, which is good news to our guests today because, yeah, this time of year, college golf teams in the upper Midwest really have to travel places to find, good places to play. And last week, his team did that, went down to Florida, played well in the Seminole Intercollegiate. I welcome in from the University of Wisconsin men's golf program, Mike Wilson, the head coach. Mike, first of all, thanks for doing this. And I guess, does it feel in Wisconsin today like it did last week in Florida, or is 70 degrees different in both locations?
I mean, I feel like it's warmer. I'm wearing shorts here. I wasn't wearing shorts down there. It was actually funny on Monday in the 36-hole day. It was warmer in Madison than it was in at Florida State. Then Tuesday we had the perfect, 75 degree day. So that was nice.
Well, and your team took advantage of it, shooting a great score of 280, moved up four spots to finish T6 down there, and got some great performances. Let's start first about the impact of a T6 finish at this point against that field. What were your takeaways from the tournament down in Thomasville, Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of struggled this year at times. I've kind of put this young group to the fire, I think, with our schedule. And, going to Thomasville, playing Florida State, and I think there are 15 schools in the field, and we were probably the only one above the Mason-Dixon line.
That's true.
Which, those mid-majors in the South can play really good golf. And I didn't really think about it when I scheduled it. It just kind of fit into our schedule. So pretty kind of frustrating. The first two rounds played okay, didn't finish the rounds. And then that final round, through 12 holes, I looked down and we're kind of felt like three shots out of last. And I'm like, what's going on? And then to the guys' credit, man, they just finished really good. It was really impressive. 9 under, I think, the last 5 holes as a team.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's right. And Spencer Turts, who's kind of been struggling a little bit, really showed what he's capable of doing. I think he went eagle, birdie, birdie to finish. And like you said, we moved from, probably 13th or 14th place to sixth place in a pretty strong field. I want to say, all the teams we lost to were ranked pretty high, and we beat probably 5 or 6 top 100 teams.
Sure.
From if I remember correctly. I was definitely pleased with that finish. And, I think we're kind of young, and these guys – work so hard, and they grind on the golf course. They're always doing what we ask them to do. So, you don't get mad at them. You just want them to have success.
Well, and I think one of the guys you mentioned, Spencer Turts, who's certainly paid his dues and was playing out of the number 5 spot, winds up leading you with a T23 finish. But then that last day, also Graham Moody, who's had all sorts of twists and turns to his college golf career. But always a friend of Wisconsin.Golf whenever we
right.
see him out at the state AMs and state opens and that kind of thing. He's been, coming from Washington State and coming out here, he's really, I think, been very loyal to golf in this state. And
yes.
It's neat to see him with a top 30 finish there, too. So you're getting those performances. And then, that last day, you kind of flip the script after, Jacob Beckman played fairly well in the 36-hole day, struggled the last day, but you still shoot your best score of the week. That's always, I guess, as a coach, maybe not best case scenario, but it means that there's a lot there.
Yeah, obviously you want 5 guys in the round, but it did show us something with Jacob struggling and those other guys stepping up. To your point on Graham Moody, who's had a rough go on the golf side here at Wisconsin, it is awesome to see him in the lineup and performing at a high level. Talk about a kid that loves loves the Badgers, loves everything about the university, and has embraced our program, even though he hasn't been able to play much. And I am so happy that he's playing at the level he is and getting to, be a part of this team that his senior year.
And we're kind of getting to that point now, Mike, in your tenure here, where some of the guys that were here when you got here are, almost done with their careers, and now you're sort of cycling into the group that you recruited. You're looking ahead to what you might bring in. As you look at what you've got so far, and with what you did last weekend, did that change your impression of what you can get out of this team here in the final four tournaments of the year?
Yeah, I think it did. They're, really improving. Like I said, the effort level is great. Making a postseason run's probably not really in the scheme, but maybe. It's more of that improvement every week, every day, and I think last week is definitely a building block for not only this year, but for the future seasons.
The I guess we're calling them what now, the clipped NCAA Division One rankings have you guys at number 110. Your win-loss record 34-48-2. A lot of that came down in Puerto Rico where you had the tough week, but
Right.
again, you've got four, by my count here, four more tournaments, including the Big Ten championships. How do these tournaments stack up as you go forward? The Schenkel down back down in Georgia. The Mason Rudolph in Tennessee. It looks like that's a Vanderbilt tournament, so that might be a field. And then the Ford also back down kind of in the southeast part of the United States before heading over to Baltimore for the Big Tens. How would you handicap what's ahead for the Badgers?
I mean, it's pretty stacked. If we can get to 500, I think we actually could make the NCAA tournament. The CLIP rankings are a little bit different. As a coach, still trying to figure that out. I'm sure you noticed some different stuff on them as well. I'll speak to one of those in a minute. But yes, the Georgia Southern, the Schenkel tournament's the one we've always played in, and it's always a pretty strong field. I think Notre Dame's there, Florida's there, Georgia Southern's going to be great there. It's a stacked field. And then the Vanderbilt tournament, same deal, pretty similar field to what we just played in, but just add, Auburn, the number one ranked team in the country, throw them in there and Vanderbilt in there as well. So, and then the Ford is the one we won last year that we played in February. We wouldn't normally go back south mid-April, but since we won the tournament, I thought we should go back, and they decided to add nine teams that are in the top 25. So, yeah. We got our work cut out for us. I mean, honestly, in this year, knowing that we were probably going to start two or three freshmen, I wanted to do this. I wanted them to see what this high-level golf looks like. And so for the future, I mean, I thought we would take some bumps in the road. You always are optimistic and want to, be top 50. But I do think playing this schedule this year is going to benefit us in the future. It's already benefiting us. Like these guys, like Jacob Beckman played 36 holes with Luke Clanton.
Wow.
He might be a top 30 golfer in the world, like not amateur golf, but pro golf.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And then you and I talked brief. I think Florida State has two more guys that are going to be on the Walker Cup. And Clanton would have been on the Walker Cup if he's going to turn pro at the end of the season. And so all five of our guys got to play with those high level kids and with the Arkansas kids on the 36 hole day. And it can show you that where you need to improve, but also we're not that far off.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Luke Clanton. I mean, this tournament here really, in addition to watching what you guys were able to do that final day, and it's always fun to, when you're sitting here trying to monitor different golf tournaments to see what, some of these, Wisconsin teams are doing on a, on a day-to-day basis. And you see, like you say, I mean, it's like watching the stock market. You were down, you started, I think, in 10th place, and then you went down to 13th and you shot back up to sixth. It's fun. But then also to see who you're up against. And Luke Clanton, I've seen him out here. He was at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He was at Torrey Pines. He just needed the one, made cut to get his to graduate PGA Tour U and get the card, when he graduates. So I mean, that guy's really put college golf on the map, and I think it's a credit to him that he's staying to see what the Seminoles can do
Right.
here down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, honestly, that he's committed to stay, through this year. He really wants to win a national championship as a team. I'm sure as an individual as well. I'm pretty sure they lost in the finals last year, or maybe the semifinals. And you know what's even more impressive is he just got his card. And just played a PGA Tour event, and then he comes and plays this collegiate event, which, your interest level can't be nearly as strong.
Yeah.
And he had never seen the golf course and shoots 14 under par because
It was
we played at a different place. We didn't play at their university course.
right. No, and I mean that was crazy. I mean 64, 66, 65, he wins by five. I mean the guy's in a different level. He's got a connection to Wisconsin. He played a lot of junior golf with a family out of Lancaster, and that was really cool. And just hearing the stories there about how much fun they had, I guess. We hear all the stories about kids that maybe put too much pressure on themselves, where junior golf is more of a job than than an activity. And it feels like, and I did get to talk to Luke's dad at the U.S. Amateur last year, and he's couldn't be more proud of his son. And but also, I think very appreciative of the fact that they had an opportunity to kind of do junior golf the right way. And that and a guy in that position, you can't always say that.
Correct. I think they did it the right way. He's a good kid. I think Jacob learned a lot playing with him, which is great for us. And yeah, it was pretty impressive. Like, I think that final round he was two over through six, and then he shot five under, so he's played
Yeah.
the last 12 holes seven under. Like, and
Wow.
it wasn't an easy golf course. It just, I mean, it's a par 70, so
Yeah.
your birdie opportunities are less, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty cool for Jacob Beckman, but I also wanted to ask you about another pairing here. I didn't even notice this until you brought it up that the first who you played with the first two rounds, you played with Florida State and Arkansas. So Charlie Erlandson got to play 36 holes with John Daly the second.
Yeah,
Little
that
guy,
was
as they used to call him. That must have been quite a pairing. Is Charlie still sporting the mullet? Was that a mullet contest?
I think he's less mullet now, but I don't know. He might still have a decent mullet. It definitely was a long drive competition at times, and yeah, I think Charlie handled it really well. It might have been Charlie's best performance for us so far. Talk about a cool Wisconsin story, right? Like
Yeah.
football star quarterback played a little bit of junior golf, but not a ton, and. I got to see him. It's actually funny. My first trip to Wisconsin recruiting was at AJGA at Merrill Hills. And I see, oh, this kid, I didn't know anything about Wisconsin golf really. And this kid from Verona is leading this AJGA. So I go watch him. It's Charlie. And I think he was at IMG, or had been at IMG at the time. And I'm like, oh, he's got some talent and kind of cool. And then I see he's a football player, which I love that. My background playing football and my dad being a football coach. So kind of just kept an eye on him, and we didn't have room for him last year with our roster limit was 10. And I was like, man, if you can get into school on your own and get here, we'll have a spot for you starting this year. And he did. I mean, it was, he had, trust in us. And I mean, you know how hard it is to get into Madison by yourself. So, pretty impressive. He's a great student. I'm, a really hard worker, and it's nice to see this stuff. Like, he's getting better. I mean, his physicals, as you've seen, are really impressive. But he's a pretty young golfer in the fact he was only playing what, the high school season and maybe June golf, compared to these other guys. They're playing year round, and so finally, he's been able to do year-round golf, and it's been really cool to see.
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
And
Because football practice, starts so early in Wisconsin because they need to get done before Thanksgiving, or actually
right.
before deer hunting. I guess that's more the bigger thing. But and so I'm, he was right on the borderline always for the state junior, but then he would miss the Lake Arrowhead invite. He would miss
Right.
NAR. By that point, your focus is Friday nights. And so I mean, and he's always been confident. That's what I've liked about Charlie. And now, he's backing that confidence up with some pretty good golf. And I'm excited for him this summer. The terms we have lined up for the State Am, State Open. Of course, he's always been down at the Ray Fisher, and I think he likes that course pretty well. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I think it'll be a good test for him this summer.
I mean, it's a good time for our, the freshman, that freshman year with that. I mean, I know he's a sophomore in school, but he's a
Yeah.
freshman in golf. That freshman year, getting that summer, and then that's kind of where your progression really gets to take place. They can focus more so just on golf in the summer and not have to worry about the school as much.
So he was willing to take that year gap. There's other kids that have been, willing to do that. Our kids, as we kind of segue into kind of some of the issues and answers type things, facing college golf. You mentioned roster limits. It'll go to 9 here if this court thing gets settled the way everyone thinks it does, starting this
Right.
fall. What I mean is Charlie a good example of someone that, really was rewarded for having an open mind towards his college years?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, we recruited him in that process. As you see, my roster's changed size a lot. I mean, I was 12 at one point, and now 10, then 10, now 9, and yeah, I mean, it paid off for him for sure. We liked everything we saw about him physically. We just didn't have a spot. And
Yeah.
then, now we go to 9. It's getting really tough on these high school kids. There's just so many different avenues to get to levels that you want, I guess. If it's the junior college route, or I think D2 and D3 golf is great as well. And even the low, I mean, I'm coming from probably the lowest mid-major you could come from at Charleston Southern, and that's it. I played there myself and had a great experience. So yeah, I think just finding what the right fit is for the individual and then keeping an open mind, like you said, it's just really tar I mean, we have 9. I had recruited, and we recruit advance, and I'm thinking I'm going to have 10. And as you've seen, we've had commitments, and now my
Yeah.
roster's really small, or openings is really small going forward. I mean, for a few years, without, some changes.
Because you only got one guy coming in next year, right?
Right. But I mean, when we were recruiting too, because we thought we had 10. And
Oh,
so,
right. Yep.
and it changed the way we did it, right? Because we had 2 spots, and I was recruiting two, and we get one. So
Yeah.
it's that was we didn't know that it was going to go to 9 until, until whatever we found out. I think we didn't find out until maybe November, right?
Right.
Or yeah, or maybe a little bit before that. It might have been August, but we'd heard the rumors that stuff was going down, but we didn't know like roster limits was going to be a thing.
And
Yes.
you've had all sorts of, situational stuff happen. I mean, we go back to Graham Moody. What's the future for a kid like that who, is battling through injuries? I mean,
Right.
you want to be able to give him the time he needs to get back to where he needs to be, but at the same time, I mean, when you're dealing with 9 roster spots and now all of a sudden you're down to 8 and you want good competition for the 5 spot,
Right.
there's a lot of things there that you're going to have to think about and kids are going to have to think about going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is really valid. And now does it become more? Hey, like you got to, if you don't perform pretty quickly, like, I mean, we got the transfer portal and all those things. It's, yeah. I mean, I obviously want to be competitive, and I kind of have in my mind, if you're not playing by your sophomore year, you're probably not going to play. I mean, for the most part. I mean, Moody, Graham, I mean, he didn't play in the fall. You know, he's playing now, but he really had to really show that I needed to put him in the lineup. And we don't qualify, you know, in the spring. Like, it's less opportunities. We did a trip in Charleston before school started. We played five rounds, and probably the only way Graham was going to get in the lineup, and he knew this, was probably to win the trip, and he did. And that's how he got in. I'm like, okay, you forced my hand, you're in. So, but you know, you've seen how I do things here, and we don't use qualifying as our number one, you know, way to pick the team. I mean, we will to maybe for a spot or if someone's playing really well, but you know, I treat it more like a football or basketball. We, you know, we see what these kids do every day, and we know, we think we have a good idea who should be in the lineup, right? Like, that's, and I tell them that up front when we recruit them. And if you want to play, do what Graham did. Like, if you beat everybody, you're going to play. But it's still, at the end of the day, like you said, on this roster limit, like, it's going to make it more difficult to take like a Charlie Erlinson or kids like that, that you feel like, hey, I'm going to bring them in and try and help develop them, you know, to get them to the level. I mean, because we only have nine. Like, if you have 10 or 12, like, you can do a little bit more of that. I mean, obviously, we still have to, you know, help develop kids, but also then you have the transfer portal. So, like, oh, well, why don't I just get a 21-year-old to come on over here and play for 2 years?
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, is that, I mean, in general, that seems to be where we're headed. I mean, I grew up in a minor league baseball town and got to see, you know, guys as they It, you know, it was a back in the 80s, it was a very meticulous single A to double A to triple A in hopes to get a cup of coffee at the big show. Now it's almost like they let people have an opportunity to play, you know, at the, you know, big time, you know, professional baseball. Right, they almost go right to the major league level, and then if they need work, then they go down to triple A. Now, I mean, to me, in college golf, I think we have the opportunity for, you know, for things to you know, to go that direction as far as you know, using Division II, using the junior colleges to, and if the junior colleges all of a sudden become free years, like they're, you know, there's been some talk, you know, that could be a whole new way of recruiting.
I mean, I think junior college for certain players is a no-brainer, especially if it's only if they're going to get the extra year, right? But even in junior college, golf is good. I think the most important thing, if you're a junior golfer trying to go to college, is go somewhere where you think you're going to play. And that's how you get experience. And then if you want to move on, you can move on, or if you love it, you stay. You have to play. And we've kind of seen that, you know, in our transfers, the ones that perform really well, they played 4 years of college golf. Like, they were in the lineup. I mean, you've probably seen that. And I think it's, you have to play. Like, if you're sitting on the bench, you just don't get the experience, you know? And
No,
it's not as fun.
and if you're sitting on the bench at a mid-major or a D2, I mean, you can't expect to be going up the ladder. I mean, you need to your point about, you know, going somewhere where you can play right away and get better. You need to find that fit, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and that, I think the beautiful thing is that, you know, we're seeing a lot of kids now, both on the men's and women's side, you know, who might not be the number one golfer at their school, still trying to go to that next level. And we've seen a lot of late bloomers. I mean, I think Wisconsin is the land of the late bloomer.
100%. I mean, I think it is here because it's a season sport, right? Like, golf is, it's a season. And then you play, you know, football or basketball, or, which is great. I love that. But that means, and I did the same thing growing up. I didn't get good at golf or really good at golf until I got out of high school, because then that was when I went full time. I was playing football, and I mean, I played basketball. I don't know if that was, if you call it playing, but and then I'd go to golf. But then that same deal, football practice, especially in the South, they're doing 2-a-days in June, trying to. But yeah, and I love golf, but I love football too. And I mean, I got way better once I went full time, college. But and I think that you see that in Wisconsin, right? A lot of kids start really, because most of them aren't playing, they're playing other sports, and they start improving, as they get into college. It's hard to predict who's going to do that, right? Like,
Oh yeah, and you look at even the best golfers statistically that we're seeing at the junior level here in Wisconsin, physically, statistics are one thing, but the physical part of it, we've seen some prominent golfers, in the junior ranks that look a lot different now as juniors and seniors than they did as freshmen, and most of them for for the better, and they know it, and they're in fact there's one out, I'm sure there's a couple out there that are, they don't actually like how they looked as a sophomore, and now they feel pretty proud of the progress they made. And I think, to a degree, Charlie was one of those guys. I mean, you think
for
about
sure.
all the work that he had to put in at Memorial High School in Madison to be physically ready to take a pounding, playing Big Eight Conference football, and then in the spring, it's almost like a recovery time because you're not getting hit on the golf course.
Yeah. I mean, it was the coolest part for me when I went from football to golf was our first day of college golf practice. Say it was August 15th, and it was, one of those 105 degree days in South Carolina, and all the guys were complaining about how hot it was. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. I'm not wearing shoulder pads and doing 2-a-days practice. Yes, it's, I mean, I love the multi-sport. I mean, it's just because the way I grew up, but it's also like in the recruiting of, man, it's so hard to see it, right?
And especially when people are whispering in your ear, that you should focus on this and should focus on that, and they want to be kids. I mean, we got one of our top juniors in this class that's, in the middle of his, basketball postseason.
Yeah,
He's a good
absolutely.
player out there at DeForest, Lincoln Hotman. And
Yep.
so I think that's pretty cool. And I do look for that. It's a neat thing. And I hope that we never lose that element of it as these kids are trying to get where they want to go. Because now I think too, with all these changes to college sports and maybe some difficulty if you're not a football player or a basketball player at a high level, trying to get noticed, now you almost feel more pressure to focus on one thing and try to get really good at it. And but then is that really how you want to spend your childhood? So I don't know how, I don't know what you say to parents when they ask you those questions, because I don't know if there's a right answer right now, because we don't quite know what the future is going to look like.
And I mean, I've got three little kids, and I want them to play everything. Like, I mean, I want them to play golf, and want them to, and like, when do you specialize? Like, I think I can speak on Lincoln since he signed. Like, I actually watched him play a high school basketball game, which was cool. Like, he was down in our hometown, and I mean, it was a recruiting day for me. It's the first time I watched a kid play a different sport. And I mean, he's a hell of a basketball player, and he's a great golfer. So that was cool. Usually I would think, like, depending on what level you are in the other sports that you're playing, like maybe like a ninth grade area is where maybe you would go, maybe more full-time golf if golf's your sport. But like you said, I mean, what is the answer? I don't know. It's hard to say. Like a kid like Lincoln Hotman, like, he needed to play basketball. He's freaking good at basketball. He's good at golf. Like, don't take that away from him.
No, and bring up another point. Lincoln's going to UW Green Bay. Lee's getting pretty, I think, kind of to his max as well. We're filling these rosters, and now the trickle down effect. Parkside's getting some good players, and then Eau Claire, Stout, they're getting some pretty decent players that might be
Correct.
at a different level in the past. It's pretty exciting to me to see that, and I'm sure for you that the benefit there is, the better the bottom is, the better it's going to push the top to be.
Right, I agree. And it's cool to see these kids are get it's helping these the other programs for sure. I think I mean what Lee's been doing at Green Bay is awesome. I mean he's getting a lot of Wisconsin kids, which is great. And obviously we recruit the heck out of Wisconsin too. Now we're running out of spots, so I mean it's just a mixture, right? Like yeah, I mean my roster will flip at some point, but I feel like every year it's like we're going to this or we're going to that, and I mean we're at nine. I mean, do we go to eight? Like in 27? I mean, SEC's going to eight. Like that's crazy. So I did you see the? I don't know what it was. It's something like SEC rosters in just in golf have to cut 45 kids this year. So 45. I mean, that's the conversations you don't want to have.
No, and think of the impact that's going to have on college golf. I mean, that's 45 kids going to pretty good programs because
Yeah.
they got to be good to be on those rosters. I mean,
Correct.
they're not taking charity cases down there.
No. I mean,
And
the seven guy on an SEC roster is pretty freaking good.
No, it'll be interesting. Mike, just a couple minutes left here. I know that both you and your assistant coach Ross Thompson play a lot of golf in the summer competitively. And you obviously expect that out of your guys. Are you looking, do you, you know, once this season, I know your focus is on this, on the season, but in the summer, are you guys having a fun time watching your guys out there? Are you having, you know, I mean, and do you kind of have a recommendation for the tournaments that you like to see them play?
I mean, I love watching what they do in the summer. We are our recommendation is for them to play as many tournaments as they can. And I'm as you've seen, our guys play Wisconsin summer golf because I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, good Lord, the courses you get to play, the weather, I mean, you know, Cameron, you look at it, Cameron Huss, Jacob Beckman, they played Wisconsin summer golf. Now Cameron, now he last summer he got to where he could play the Elite Series, but he still played the Wisconsin stuff. He maybe didn't play the match play, right? But I love Wisconsin summer golf. They set the courses up pretty hard. I mean, obviously you kind of get the Ray Fisher shootout to start with, which is fun. And then you build into State AM, State Open. It's really cool to see. I mean, it's it, th those state and you saw like William Harned. You know, he played well in amateur golf, and then in the Wisconsin amateur golf. So that's closer to a college tournament, you know, for what we see. And you know, it was kind of. We like to, I love to play. I mean, I don't know if I'm competitive, but obviously Ross is. And, you know, we were probably the first ones to sign up for the four ball at Blackhawk. And Charlie and, I don't know who Charlie, does he play with Beck? I think he plays with Beckman. Charlie's already chirping at us. And I said, well, that's, if there's one course I can beat you, it's Blackhawk. So you better be ready. But I mean, the WSGA and the PGA, I mean, that's the best run association in America, probably. Like in tournaments. I mean, I've been in South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, nothing to take away from those. But I mean, shoot, you go play a stadium qualifier, and there's four rules officials. Like,
That's
it's
true.
crazy.
It
It's awesome, and you know, they do a great job setting up these events. I mean, sometimes it's hard. I mean, I miss the State AM at Erin Hills by. I think I was an alternate, and then when I went to the tournament to recruit, I was like, ah, you know, I'd really like to play here, but I'm kind of glad I missed it because I don't know about a break at 85. It was
Be
looked so
careful what you
hard,
wish for, right?
right? So, yeah, I mean, it's what an awesome place to play golf, and I mean, I just feel like this state loves golf here, and I mean, I want to get this program where people are going to be really proud of us, and. I mean, I think we're going in the right direction. I mean, this year has been a little bit of a struggle, but I see so many upsides.
Well, I do too. And Mike, appreciate the time here. Good luck here the rest of the season, and appreciate you jumping in here on Talking.Golf.
Thanks. Y'all have a great day, and let's get out on these golf courses here in Wisconsin. This weather's perfect.
Outstanding. That's Mike
Thank
Wilson,
you.
and this has been Talking.Golf. We'll talk golf again next week.